All right, good to see everyone this evening and worship the Lord with you. Didn't know if people were going to be too tuckered out after partying last night and be sleeping all evening, but I'm thankful there to see everyone that was here this morning, and I'm thankful to see you again tonight. Real quickly, one announcement. The Secret Sister forms are in the back. Is it the due date to turn those in, or do they have a little time? Yeah, there's not enough Secret Sisters yet, I guess. So we need some more. I've heard positive things. No one let me in on it, but I heard that it was fun for you guys. So I'm expecting you all are looking forward to doing that again. But just want to give you a heads up. Those forms are in the back if you'd like to participate in that again. All right. Well, we're going to be talking about adoption tonight, as I mentioned. I think briefly earlier when I was doing the reading. That's a good subject. It's wonderful to be a Christian, isn't it? That's one of those amen statements. That's about the ultimate amen statement, right? But it is. And certainly, if somebody asks you, what's so great about being a Christian? Well, we can tell them, we have a home in glory. We have a place with the Lord. When this life is past, we have hope that goes beyond the grave. We have no fear of judgment as Christ has paid for all our sins. And all those things are wonderful truths. But I think if you want to get to the very heart of what's so great about being a Christian, it's that I'm adopted. That I am a child of the King, like we sang earlier. It's our relationship with God that is at the real heart of our blessing. And that's going to, I think we'll know it in a fuller sense in heaven, but we know it even today. We're blessed to rejoice in this even today. So I don't think there's a more wonderful doctrine in Scripture that we can study than what we're looking at here. Adoption, that we are adopted children of God. It seems kind of basic, but let's talk about a definition of this. If I could get that to switch here. About what it means to be adopted. The interpretation of the Greek word in Scripture is to place as a son. And we kind of understand this concept that may be one that was outside of a family, at least as far as man is concerned. This is the way we look at it. Somebody's outside of a family. They're legally brought into it. They're made worthy of all the rights of a true child, of those parents. My brother and his wife, I told them I'm throwing a big picture of you up there tonight. But they've adopted. It's quite obvious they've adopted three children. Caden, Izzy, and Minnie are their children. And obviously not biologically, but in every way, as their good parents, they look to my brother and his wife as their parents. And in fact, there's a special sense in which a child that's adopted can say, I was chosen. My brother and his wife, they were foster parents, and there are a lot of kids that went through that foster system. That I think they had 21 kids, but these three were special. And they ended up adopting these three. So they had they have the joy of saying, they saw me and loved me and chose me. Well, in the context of Scripture, that's all wonderful, but we see an even fuller sense to adoption. This is from Article 10, I believe, of the Philadelphia Confession of Faith. I don't have it written down in front of me. Article 11. I was wrong. Off by one. All those that are justified, God vouchsafed in for the sake of His only Son, Jesus Christ, to make partakers of the grace of adoption by which they are taken into the number and enjoy the liberties and privileges of children of God. To get a sense of it in Scripture, I want you to look with me to Galatians chapter 4. Certainly the articles that we're studying are based on the Scriptures, define our beliefs, but the Scriptures are the ultimate definition. And here's a great description of our adoption in Galatians chapter 4. We read, but when the fullness of time was come, in Galatians 4 verse 4, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. That's truly one of the most wonderful passages in Scripture. That's a great description of our blessing and salvation. C.H. Spurgeon, he had a good sermon that he preached on adoption, and he gave this definition, which I thought was really good, of scriptural adoption, that we are translated out of the evil and black family of Satan and brought actually and virtually into the family of God to be for all intents and purposes the actual offspring and children of God. I want to emphasize that adoption is not just an illustration, as if God is trying to help us understand our relationship based on our worldly parents. I would say the worldly parents typify the greater spiritual reality. Now, I have to say I'm blessed with my parents. Our worldly fathers and mothers, as wonderful as they are, though, can't compare to the Father God is to us. Our worldly families, as much as we love them, can't compare to the blessing of being a part of God's family. And I think as we think on that, our hearts ought to rejoice, as the Apostle John did. In 1 John 3:1, he said, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." Wow, behold it. Think on this. How amazing it is that we should be called his sons. I hope that grabs hold of you tonight. Let's talk about some specifics. Let's talk about how adoption takes place. I want to answer this in several ways. First of all, we want to consider what's the ultimate cause of adoption. With earthly parents who adopt, there's something in the child's appearance sometimes, or something in the child's actions, or is there some characteristic or that maybe draws that parent to that child. I didn't ask my brother why those three out of the 21 or so children they had come through, that what caught their heart about those three. But often there's something about the child that draws the parent to that particular child. What is it, though, that God might be drawn to when it comes to us? There's nothing really to say there, is there? For one thing, what does he need that we can provide? Is he lonely? A lot of people think God made the world because he was lonely. God's not lonely. God made the world and saves Christians because he needs somebody to do his work. Well, he can do all things. He's almighty. He's not partially mighty or mostly mighty. He's almighty. He didn't need us. But then secondly, we have no love or obedience to him at all in and of ourselves. So not only could we not add anything to him, we didn't want to. We're rebellious in our sin. We've transgressed every one of our transgressions against him. I'd put it this way. Left to ourselves, none of us would choose to be his child. None of us would say, yeah, I want to be in the family of God. Why? Because we want to live for ourselves. We want to live to the things of the world. We look at that by nature as slavery. That's where we were in our sins. You say, well, how then can we be adopted children of God? How did we enter into this relationship? Well, we read it earlier from Ephesians chapter 1, didn't we? Ephesians 1 verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved." What that's saying is it's all of God that we become his children. There is absolutely nothing in us that has drawing power towards him. He doesn't look forward and see how good we're going to become, because there's no good outside of him in us. It is purely the fact that he has love. Love for unworthy sinners. And in eternity chooses to make these sinners his own dear children and sets in motion his great plan. Of course, eternally he had this plan of bringing us to peace with him through the blood of Jesus Christ. What an awesome thought that is. So the cause, we might say, of adoption is the grace of God. Adoption, in a second sense, we have to say it takes place because of Christ's atoning sacrifice. We can't get away from that. That's the price of our adoption. You know, many earthly parents, they go to great expense to obtain their children. I have a friend that went all the way to Siberia to get a special needs child, because a lot of special needs children were being neglected there. They had a burden for that, went all the way to Siberia. I had another friend, actually I know two different men that have gone all the way to China to get their children and to adopt them and to bring them back and to raise them. But I'll tell you, there's no expense that compares to what we cost. You can't come close to that. Back in Galatians chapter 4,
But when the fullness of time was come, in Galatians 4:4, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. It says in Hebrews 2:9, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. For it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. You know, we as parents sometimes will joke about trading our kid for another kid. You know, say things like that. Or somebody says, oh, you have the sweetest kids. Oh, do you want them? You know, we don't mean it. I promise, guys, we don't. You know, parents are, children are the dearest thing to their parents. They mean the world to their parents. Wouldn't give them up for anything. We give our lives for our children. That's how it should be. But no parent has a closer relationship with the child than God the Father and God the Son. But he did give his Son that we might receive this adoption, didn't he? That he did take all of the judgment and the wrath that we deserved and put it on the Lord Jesus Christ in our place. And here is his beloved Son he loved so much. And he says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And there's no answer. Why? Because he's being judged for us. The Father did not restrain his wrath and say, no, I got to uphold my Son here. He continued to pour it out. Jesus continued to endure that judgment until the full price of our sin was paid. How foolish to ever question the Father's care for us when he's given so much to make us his children. It's through the blood of Christ that we're adopted and brought into his family. That's the merit of our adoption. But then thirdly, there is a work of the Holy Spirit that takes place in our life. Galatians 4 verse 6, because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. That word Abba is Aramaic, but it's a very endearing way of saying Father. Abba, Father, wherefore thou art no more a servant but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. John chapter 1 verse 12 says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. So here's kind of an interesting, I don't know if you want to say twist to this, that there is a birth that is part of our adoption. That we are born again as we are adopted. In a world where children are adopted, they still carry the appearance of their biological parents. And often the characteristics of their biological parents will come out, not their adopted parents. That's just natural, isn't it? But you see, this scriptural adoption is different. When God makes us his children, he sends the Spirit to give us a new heart. And what does the Spirit do? It gives us a new nature that's like unto our heavenly Father's. So there's an aspect in which we're born into this family. We're born again and we become children of God. We flee wholeheartedly the wicked lifestyle that once marked us as the children of the devil. We yearn for peace with him. We find our hope in Jesus Christ. And ever throughout our life, God is making us more and more in his likeness. So what a wonderful aspect that is to our adoption. Eternally we were chosen. Through Christ we were bought. Through the Spirit we're made like unto our heavenly Father. Let's talk about the privileges of our adoption. This is the rest of the article. It's just a one paragraph article this time. It says, God's adopted children have his name put on them, receive the Spirit of adoption, have access to the throne of grace with boldness, are enabled to cry, Abba, Father, are pitied, protected, provided for, and chastened by him as a father, yet never cast off, but sealed to the day of redemption, and inherit the promises as heirs of everlasting salvation. So let's go through these and talk about them. I'm going to just kind of group them in four different groups. We first talk about the Holy Spirit that's given unto us. Of course, we already mentioned it's the Spirit that regenerates us and brings us to faith in Christ. But the blessing that I want to emphasize here is that the Spirit remains in us. It's not just a work that happens on the day that we're converted and then the Spirit goes off to work in someone else's heart. The Spirit remains in us. Romans chapter 8 and verse 15. We read there, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, But ye have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. The Spirit is a testimony of God's true work in our heart. And what a comfort it is to see God's hand upon my life. The Spirit dwelling in me, it draws us unto God. It illuminates His truth to our hearts and minds. Which is why we can read the Bible many times over and God's still speaking to us, isn't He? And He still speaks to us as the Word is preached. He guides us in our prayer life and moves our heart and moves our petitions. He convicts us of sin. He encourages us in His promises. He gives us peace in hardship. Nothing testifies, I think, that we are the children of God as the testimony of the Holy Spirit that is at work in us. He's called in Ephesians 1 verse 14 the earnest or the down payment of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. So I know that I am an adopted child of God because God dwells in me. He's working in me. What a wonderful blessing that is. We can go from there and talk about our prayer life, which kind of goes right hand in hand with the work of the Spirit. You know, you look at false religions that are out there. And it's amazing talking to my dad about the false religions of Thailand. There's a terror of their gods. There's a fear. What they do is they give sacrifices so the gods won't punish them. But there's no comfort in drawing near to those gods. You think about the prophets of Baal. How they wailed and cut themselves and tried all these things to try to get their God's attention. And that's kind of the mentality of man when he creates a god. He is a far off being of power, and you've got to somehow placate him and get his attention upon you if you're going to get his blessing. But we've got something infinitely better, don't we? The scriptures point us to the hope of a heavenly Father. You know, a servant of a king might fear to enter the throne room unbidden. That might be a fearful thing. It ought to be a fearful thing probably for a lot of servants, but a beloved child, well, they can run right up to a loving Father, can't they? And that's what we can do. Matthew chapter 7, verse 9, these are the words of Christ. He says in Matthew 7, 9, or what man of you is there of you whom if his son asks bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? We need to remember this when we're praying. Who we're praying to. I tell you, that'll strengthen your faith like nothing else. That this is not an angry overseer. This is your Father. This is your Father that longs for your blessing. This is your Father that has absolute love for you through Jesus Christ. And so we can come boldly before that throne of grace with our petitions. And we ought to. That's His desire for us. We are children that He loves and wants to bless. So effectual prayer, what a privilege as we think on our adoption to be able to draw near to God. In a fuller sense, we can talk about the Heavenly Father's unfailing care for our lives. And I'm just going to run through some of the lists that's pointed out in the article of faith. We are pitied. I tell you, nothing gets a hold of a parent like the suffering of their child. How you take that suffering in a heartbeat when you see what they're going through. God pities us more than any parent pities their child. Are you brought low? Well, God knows. He knows what you're going through. He knows how much it hurts. He knows the pain. He knows the suffering. And let me tell you, He cares. There's no question that He cares. And His burden is to bless you in all that you're going through. Going with that, we are protected and we are provided for. Any good earthly father is going to try to provide for his children the very best that he can. I remember as a boy, I had such confidence in my dad. I never realized how little money we had because I just had confidence. You know, dad's going to take care of stuff. He's going to provide for my needs. You get older and you realize, you know, there's a lot of variables out there. You know, there's a lot of other things that can happen. And we're not totally in control. As much as we want to provide for our families, there are sometimes things out of our control. But Heavenly Father, well, we talked about it this morning, didn't we? When we can say, my times are in thy hand, there's a comfort there. He is always going to be faithful to provide for his children's needs. Never are they going to lack exactly what is best for their life, physically and spiritually. Satan could focus all of his attacks and all of his anger on that one person, and they still can't be taken from his arms. Job is kind of the proof of that, isn't it? The article thirdly points out that we are chastened and yet never cast off. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6 says, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? That ought to be one of your greatest comforts. Don't want to get into my next point that I'm going to be talking about, but just to look back and see God whooping you every once in a while. That ought to make you thankful. The fact that he'll give you no peace with sin. Yeah, we fall, but we can't stay down. Why? Because the Lord upholds us with his hand. He brings us low. He reproves us. He convicts us. He brings sorrow over our sin, but it's a godly sorrow that leads to repentance, and he lifts us back up. He's faithful to chasten us. And that is one of the greatest blessings we have, and we ought to never cease to thank the Lord. And pray that if there are sins in our life, that he would bring it to our minds and our hearts and lead us out of them. That's his love. Just as it's our love when we discipline our children, God is working upon us. One last thing that we want to talk about is how we are sealed into the day of redemption and inherit the promises as heirs of everlasting salvation. So we've got an eternal inheritance. 1 Peter 1:3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. God's ultimate purpose for us is that we're going to be delivered from this present evil world and brought up to be with him in glory. That's his ultimate purpose. I don't know where he's going to lead as far as this world is concerned until we get there. We're going to have our ups and downs. We're going to have our roller coaster like we talked about this morning. But I know where we are headed. I know the great blessing that we're headed to. I can't tell you what the mansion's going to look like, if it's a real mansion. I can't tell you all the things we're going to do in glory, but I'll tell you this, my Father will be there. And he's going to be blessing me for all eternity. I know that there's going to be no distraction or fear or sin to hold me back from him. What a comfort to think about that. At 1 Peter, really, that ought to be a passage that's dear to our hearts. And as we're going through times where we feel impoverished compared to the world's riches, and maybe we're tempted to be jealous of them like Asaph, good to remember, I'm a child of the King. And that's far better than anything this world could ever offer. I wouldn't give anything for what God has given me. How rich I am in him. I want to add a final point tonight. And that is the evidences of adoption. I would hope as we talk about this that everyone yearns to be sure that these are my blessings, that these are my riches. But what marks out an adopted child? Well, Romans 8 verse 14 gives a clear answer. It says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So I guess the real question is, do you have the spirit of adoption tonight? Well, there's several things will be true of you. This one I didn't put in the notes. I should have thought about it. But first of all, if you have the spirit of adoption, you're going to love the Lord Jesus Christ, won't you? Jesus said of the Holy Spirit, when the Comforter has come, he shall testify of me. And the first and foremost work of the Holy Spirit is to draw us to Christ, is to make us see not just that there is a God in heaven, but that we have peace with God through his Son that has come and died for us on the cross and risen again. Through his Son that is our good shepherd, who is our friend that sticketh closer than a brother, who is our hope when we get to glory, to see him there standing for us with the wounds in his hands and his side and his feet. That's our hope and that's our joy and that's our love. Do you have a love for Christ? Is he all your hope of salvation tonight? That's a testimony of adoption. But then the ones I did have points for, secondly, an adopted child of God is going to love the law of God. 1 John 3:9 puts it pretty simply. And I like the fact that when we're going through 1 John, that's what John does. 1 John 3:9, he says, "Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he's born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil." So here we see the great testimony. It doesn't mean that we never sin. It doesn't mean that we don't have mistakes we make along the way. But what he's talking about is the prevalent sin in our life. That disposition to live for the things of this world. There's a clear testimony. If somebody is an adopted child of God, we've already talked about this, that they are born again. That there's a new birth that goes along with that adoption. That God has made us anew in His image. And so while we're not yet perfected, we have a love for God. And we have a love for His commands. We're not forced to obey them like a servant. Or like somebody that is simply trying to earn a mansion in heaven. We have commands from our Father that we rejoice to follow because we love our Father. And we recognize His good care for us and His good will for our life. And so we can say, "Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day." It ought to be the goal of your life to be a sacrifice for your Heavenly Father. Be a living sacrifice for Him all your days. Do you have a love for God's commands? A heart to obey? That's a sure testimony of adoption. But then thirdly, it says secondly, but really it's thirdly, there's a love for God's fellowship. Who did you spend Christmas with? I would guess most of you say you just spend it with your family, right? We want to spend our time with those that we love. Well, if you've been brought into this relationship with God and you have a love for Him as He has a love for you, you ought to be wanting to spend some time with God. What a crazy notion, all the people claiming the name of Christianity and having nothing to do with church. Many of them not even having a Bible, just going knocking door to door, knowing very little about Him. That's not a testimony of adoption. Somebody that is in this relationship loves God, and so they're going to be spending time in the Word, hearing Him speak. They're going to be rejoicing in the privilege we talked about earlier to come before the throne of grace with their petitions and their time of need and to fellowship with Him in prayer. They're going to rejoice to be where the Word is preached and proclaimed. An adopted child of God wants to fellowship with God. Thirdly, an adopted child of God is going to have a love, or fourthly, is going to have a love for God's people. 1 John 4:20 says, "If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen?" We are a family in the highest sense of the word. Believers are rightly called the family of God. We can't see our Heavenly Father yet, or at least the Lord Jesus Christ, and we can't yet be in heaven in the glorious presence of God, but we do see His attributes upon our brethren. And we see His testimony of love and goodness and wisdom bestowed upon them. And so we love them as we love Him. And if we have conflict and anger and hatred and selfishness is pervading and there's no love for our fellow believer, well, there's a good question whether you love God, who that believer is really in the image of. So there ought to be a love for the people of God. I want to close this out by reading you what I think is a lengthy quote, but I think it's a very good quote. This is from C.H. Spurgeon's sermon that he preached on adoption. And I think he brings across the real blessing of this very well, as only he can. I've always wished I could go back and actually hear him speak these things. But let me read it to you. He says, "Suppose the judge of the land should have before him some traitor who was about to be condemned to die, that equity and law demanded that the wretch should shed his blood by some terrible punishment. But suppose it were possible for the judge to step from his throne and say, 'Rebel, you are guilty, but I have found out a way whereby I can forgive your rebellions. Man, you are pardoned.' There is a flush of joy upon his cheeks. 'Man, you are made rich. See, here is wealth. Another smile passes over the countenance. Man, you are made strong so strong that you shall be able to resist all your enemies. He rejoices again. Man, says the judge at last, you are made a prince. You are adopted into the royal family, and you shall one day wear a crown. You are now as much the son of God as you are the son of your own father. You can conceive the poor creature fainting with joy at such a thought, that he whose neck was just ready for the halter should have his head now ready for a crown, that he who expected to be clothed in the felon's garb and taken away to death is now to be exalted and clothed in robes of honor. So, Christian, think what you did deserve, robes of shame and infamy, but you are to have those of glory. Isn't that awesome? Not a good description of our blessing. Not only that we're spared the flames of hell, and it's amazing, a lot of people are satisfied with that. They look at the Christian religion and they say, well, it's my fire escape. Yeah, it's my ticket to a mansion in heaven. You're robbing yourself of the true blessing here. It's my inheritance into glory as an heir of God through Jesus Christ. I'm a child of the King. And I would pray if you're a Christian here tonight that you would feel as rich as you are. I'm not talking about being lifted up in pride. I'm talking about being lifted up in praise to God. Being thankful for His goodness to you, to make you His own dear child. Being confident that He who's made you His own child through the blood of Christ is going to take care of you and everything that you go through. And being overjoyed at the idea that now as His child you have the opportunity to go out and to live for Him and to bring Him glory in your life. I tell you, we've got no greater motivation, I think, to live for Him than to think about what we are to Him as His own adopted children through Jesus Christ. I pray that blesses your heart tonight. Let's go to the Lord in prayer as we close. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this word that You've set before us, for this glorious doctrine. Scriptural doctrine of adoption, that we are not merely forgiven criminals. We are not merely slaves. We are not merely servants. We are Your children. Lord, help us to lay hold of the riches of that. And because of that, to draw near to You and to rejoice in You as we ought and to have a desire to live for You as we should. Father, we so thank You. We can't understand why You would choose us, why You would set Your love upon us as You have, but we know that You have. And Lord, we give You all the praise and glory for it. Help us to spread this wonderful gospel to the world around us. What an awesome thought as we see sinners living for the things of this world, that by Your grace they might not only be saved from their sins, but they might too be heirs of this eternal inheritance. Thank You again for Your wondrous love to us through Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.